When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to another episode of Everyone is Hot, the podcast that talks about your favorite stealth sex symbols in the film or TV show that turned you on to them. Normally, I am here with my great friend and co-host, Michael Stevens, but I'm flying solo today. But do not worry, because we still have an incredible guest. I am so excited to have this person on. Actor, writer, co-host of Two Old Queens and the Celebration Celebration podcast, and author of the book Baked, Sex, Drugs, and Alternative Comedy, John Flynn.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, thank you, children. Thank you so much.
I'm so excited to have you here.
This isn't awkward at all to have a bunch of children for this conversation. Not the least bit.
Is a child appropriate?
Well, it's kind of for kids in a way. Honestly, the humor's not that sophisticated. That's true.
This is very true, and I think that there are important lessons that children can learn along the way.
Right, about capitalism, yes, about sticking by your friends, absolutely.
Yeah, about pussy over pot, exactly. All important things.
So. Absolutely. Children need to learn now.
Exactly. So, John, can you tell us, who is your stealth sex symbol, and what movie are we going to be talking about?
My stealth sex symbol is Guillermo Diaz, who is one of those actors who I think belongs in the, like, oh, that guy category. Yeah. Where, like, you see him in something, you're like, wait a minute, I know that guy. What have you seen him in? And then, like, it turns out when you do a little bit of digging, you're like, oh, I've seen him in a million things. Like, he's in... And a million, like, cool things, too. Like, he was in, you know, like, Broad City. He was in a Britney Spears video. He was in Girls. He was in Weeds. Scandal was probably, like, his biggest thing. Mm-hmm. And then the movie we're talking about today, Half Baked, which is something that he did, like, very early on in his career.
Yes. Comedy classic, Half Baked, which I had definitely heard about before this episode, yes. But I had never seen. And I didn't quite know what to expect.
Well, actually, I was the same. I was I just sort of thought, like, oh, this seems like, because it's also the thing about Guillermo Diaz is, like, he's in a bunch of stuff, but there's not a lot where that, like, oh, it's his movie.
Yeah.
Or it's his thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so it was like, when we were talking, I was like, oh yeah, I bet he's like one of the top four listed in this movie. And he does have one of the bigger parts, but I had never seen it before. And it's not ultimately what I would say is like his crowning jewel, but it's definitely, you know, like he's there with a young Dave Chappelle. And so
I will say that I did not have high expectations for the movie, but I actually enjoyed it quite a lot. I was shocked by how much I had a good time watching it.
All right. While watching it, I was like, oh, I really wish I was high while watching this movie.
Fair. Yes. That probably would have made it even better.
Definitely. But... couldn't have hurt. No.
But so if anyone who is listening has not seen the 1998 film Half-Baked, directed by Tamara Davis, here is a little synopsis. after Kenny accidentally kills a cop's diabetic horse by feeding it the food he purchased from a munchie run, he is put in jail and is given a $1 million bail. The rest of the group must bail Kenny out before Nasty Nate gets to him. The group decides to sell marijuana that Thurgood gets through his job as a janitor at a pharmaceutical lab. They become pals with rap star Sir Smoke-A-Lot and the rivals of dealer Samson Simpson. On the side, Thurgood seeks the love of Mary Jane, an anti-pot daughter of a dealer. What follows is typical pothead behavior with a ton of cameos. Look carefully.
There are a ton of cameos in this movie.
There are. I was so pleasantly surprised by so many of them. A lot of crushes that we've talked about on this podcast showed up. We definitely have a Janine Garofalo episode that we did a while ago. You know, seeing young John Stewart is always
John
a pleasure.
Stewart, right. Death to Smoochie era John Stewart, of course. Yes.
Oh my God, we have to do Death to Smoochie someday.
Do you? I mean, sure.
I'm going to reclaim Death to Smoochie.
Okay. I don't think anyone else is claiming it, so take it.
Yeah, it's all on me. Well, before we get into our main discussion, we'd like to get a little slick.
Oh, yeah.
And we do this with the sexy trivia game. John, would you like to read us our first bit of sexy trivia?
Thank you, Shelley. I'd love to. Did you know that the look of the guy's apartment is based from Grand Royale, the studio where New York-based rap band The Beastie Boys have recorded their music? That's right. Director Tamra Davis is married to Beastie Boy member Michael Diamond, better known as Mike D.
Ooh, what a fascinating, scintillating piece of trivia. Number B. According to Jim Breuer, the only time he was actually under the influence of marijuana during filming was the scene in which Samson is arrested. According to Breuer, Dave Chappelle gave him a bag of marijuana at the end of a day's shooting. Right after smoking it, Breuer was called back to set because Clarence Williams III wanted to quit the film and demanded all of his scenes be filmed on that day. Breuer needed multiple takes to get his lines right.
I know that's right.
It might have been a bit of a messy process making this movie.
Well, speaking of messy processes, Symbol C. The period between the script being brought to the release of the film was only 7 months, an incredibly fast time frame for a major studio film.
Wow, and that is the sexy trivia game. Oh, I'm hot already.
It's open a window in here.
I know, seriously.
That is insane that they sold it and then it was released 7 months later.
That's fucking crazy.
Like, you can't even have a baby in that time.
No, you can't. And I will say, based on the end result of the movie, not that surprising.
It's not surprising, right. When you see it, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, sure, that checks out.
You hear that, you're like, that's impossible. Then you go, oh, actually, it's possible.
Yeah, we've got some interesting elements to this movie. It's a bit of a shaggy film, which I think is part of its charm.
Absolutely.
It also is very much of its time.
Very much of its time. There's some moments that maybe haven't aged all that well, though nothing that's horrible.
Only some like light male rape jokes.
Sure. I mean, there's your classic prison homophobia going on there, but there's no like Mickey Rooney and Breakfast at Tiffany's going on here.
True. We have a very over the top dropping the soap bit, but
yes,
but no Mickey Rooney. So I guess that could be our scale.
But there's like more male nudity in this than there is female nudity. I mean, there's no like full on nudity, but you know, so then that way you're like, okay, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was like it did. Surprised me in some ways that it didn't always feel completely dated, so that it was a little more surprising when those moments happened. It's like, oh yeah, this is still 1998.
right.
And this is still dated.
9/11 hadn't happened yet. We didn't know any better.
Exactly. Well, so tell me a little bit of your background with Guillermo. So you're new to this film, but how?
Yes.
What was your familiarity with him as an actor?
I think the first time I like really like registered who he was either Weeds, another stoner. He has a lot of stoner based things in his catalog. He also has an episode of High Maintenance, And while not, I think, directly weed-based, you know, a broad city has a lot of just sort of like a general cloud of smoke around it.
It's in the ether.
But yeah, I mean, I think it was either like weeds and scandal. Like Scandal, that's probably like his big one, that Shonda Rhimes show, which is bananas, if you've never watched that.
I'm embarrassed.
Oh, I mean, it's like most hour-longs, like the first season is like, I mean, it's Shonda Rhimes, so it's like crazy, juicy, like ridiculous. You know, it's Kerry Washington plays the fixer of the president, played by Tony Goldwyn, and then like, but they also are having an affair. So like, it's bananas. Like, it makes no sense. And Guillermo Diaz is like her like go-to but he's like, he kills for her, but like he's like, okay, he's like that, but with a heart of gold. Like, he always does it for the right reasons.
Love it.
And you know, and so like, he's in that, that's sort of like his big, that's probably like between that and Weeds is probably when I was like, all right, I really like this guy. But yeah, I mean, he's someone also like, he also has a love of Madonna. I love Madonna as well. You know, all the weed stuff, definitely big part of who I was, maybe who I am, sure, why not. But I don't know. I just think he's really sexy. He's like got that bearish look. He's got a sleepy eyed look to him. Like, he just always seems like he'd love to take a nap, or he just woke up from one. Always like looks like a little bit of a bad boy, like that kind of stuff that I like about him. I don't know. Like, he's kind of like a little bit of a bear, which I like, you know, like I'm not a big twink kind of guy.
Sure.
So I don't know. There's just something about him. I just think like, there's something kind of like quietly sexy about him.
I love this. And I love that. So your co-host from Two Old Queens was on this show previously.
Yes.
With another iconic bear, John Goodman.
Sure. So well, talking about a big daddy. Yeah.
We love a big daddy. We are big appreciators of the bears on this show. So
nice.
When you first found yourself attracted to him, did you already know about these like interesting overlaps of like the Madonna stuff and the stoner stuff?
No. Like, I mean, that, because the thing about Guillermo Diaz is like, he mostly plays straight. Like, so he is gay and he's out, but and he's done a few stuff where he plays gay characters, but by and large he plays heterosexual roles. Like, he doesn't have baked, but no, it's sort of like as I started to go deep into him, and that, excuse me, as it were, that I started to be like, oh wow, like I'm sure everyone feels this, but I feel like if I met him at a party, I'm like, we would totally hit it off.
Yeah. Oh, you know. Yeah, I mean, I found him like, you know, I was not super familiar with his work prior to this, but you know, as I was like reading about him before we got on, he seems so charming, and I think part of the charm is that he does very much feel like a working actor, you know? Like,
yeah.
Because I mean, it sounds like he's definitely been, you know, maybe pigeonholed a little bit in his career, like if he's,
sure, yeah,
you know, constantly playing like
drug dealers. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah,
but he, sure, you know, not that like, you know, any actor is like obligated to take any role or whatever, but sure, it was interesting him that he has like said in interviews like that it's not like his primary concern, that like he just simply wants to act, and so it's just,
yeah, exactly,
yeah, that he seems to have like played a pretty wide range of parts, even if some of them have maybe been a little more stereotypical, you know.
Sure. Well, not another thing too, like as I was like really going deep, that you get this, you what seems to happen a lot is that like it was like, oh, he like for Weeds, like he was only supposed to be 4 episodes, but then they were like, oh, we liked him, and so like he was on for several seasons. And same thing, like he did a Britney Spears video and he was supposed to do like one bit initially, but then they were like, oh, what if we have him do this other part? So you get the sense that like he's someone that like when he shows up, other people are like, oh, we like this guy. Let's figure out more stuff for him to do. Like, he clearly like seems to like get along with people and like be like a fun, interesting person to work with, that people want to work with him and sort of like keep him, you know, like, you know, because like that can happen a lot, especially like TV and film and stuff like that. TV stuff, especially, where they're like, oh no, let's figure out ways to bring this guy back, or let's have him around. So you get the sense, so there is the sense of like, oh, I bet he's like easygoing, cool, really fun to have on set, you know, and the fact that like he has worked with so many like big names and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, so I love like those kinds of stories about like the just like consummate professionals who like come on set and like their roles get expanded because people just like enjoy having them present. Like, I love like the stories about like David Hyde Pierce, like that Niles was supposed to be like, you know, a brief little role, and then it became like, you know.
Right, yeah, the second lead. Right, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that's, have you ever had any like experiences in your performing career along those lines?
Well, as a writer, I've definitely had that. Like, years ago, I wrote for this like award show, which doesn't exist anymore, called the New Now Next Awards. And we had one bit for, gosh, why can't I think of her name right now? She's a model. Oh, Paulina Porizkova. Mm-hmm. And I remember like she came in, first of all, like she like came to rehearsal and she's like a model. So she's like, 8 feet tall. And she like came, she came by herself on a scooter. She like took off her helmet. It was just like, it was like a shampoo commercial where she just like shook out her hair and she looked gorgeous. But she was the sweetest, nicest woman who was like down for whatever. And so we just like wrote all these extra bits for her to do because we were like, she's amazing. And she was like so sweet and down for whatever. So like, yeah, it's one of those things too where like, oh yeah, that happened. Like if people like you, they're like, give stuff to them. They're great.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. And I mean, I wonder, I mean, so something that we get into a lot on the podcast is like our interest in actors like as performers and like the separation between like who they might be in real life and like, you know, the kinds of characters that they're portraying. You know, like we talked about on a recent episode, like, you know, an actor who's like frequently plays kind of evil people, but was like a good leftist in real life. And like, so I think
right.
as someone who's like, you know, works in entertainment, I mean, is that something that you find yourself having a hard time, like not being cognizant of when you're watching an actor on screen of like, maybe just like knowing that they're an actor and that sort of separation between character and actor?
Oh, you mean like because their personality makes it tough to like forget who they are?
Yeah. Or even if you don't know as much about their personality, even if it's just like, because I mean, I feel like sometimes I have a difficulty like fully immersing in a movie sometimes because I'm like so aware of like the of acting, you know?
Right. I think that especially happens for TV actors because they can play a character for so long that you're like, like you're one of the Brady Bunch kids. Like, what are you trying to do here?
Right. Like, that's funny. Yeah. So, have you found like in your dating career? I mean, have you like dated a lot of actors? Or
well, I've been married. I've been with my partner for the last 13 years.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't say I dated a lot of actors, but I've dated a bunch of actors.
Yeah, because I mean, I feel like that's part of what takes me out as well. That I've also like dated a lot of actors, and so it's like once they start like showing up in Netflix shows, it like it makes it a little harder to like really invest in a show.
Right. And you're like, you'll watch them and be like, oh, I bet that person was an asshole on set, or like you just hear, so you're like, I bet that scene was impossible to film, or like,
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Well, so do you remember like maybe your first sort of movie or TV crush?
Yes, and it's a weird one, but I remember like as a very young child having a crush on the TV show Leave It to Beaver.
I do.
On the older brother. Actor Tony Dow. I remember just being like, why do I like him so much? Like, I just thought he was so handsome and so cool. And I just, so like, Tony Dow is like who I think of when I'm like, that was my first crush.
That's funny. And did you like recognize it as a crush at the time, or were you just kind of too young where you were like,
I think I was like a little too young, but I just also knew that like I liked looking at him. Like, I knew that there was something going on where it's just like, I don't know, I just seemed to like him.
That's interesting. Yeah, because I do find it funny. I mean, like something we've talked a lot about and that, you know, a lot of our guests have talked about is like having those kind of like that pull towards certain people you see on screen. But when you're like too young to articulate, like,
you don't know what it is. But you're just like, I don't know. I just like that person. Yeah.
Right? And then it's so funny when you get older and you start watching people and like you think of, you can start thinking of them in like an actual romantic context and you start thinking about like,
you know what to do with these feelings somewhat. Yeah. Yes. Oh, I know how to act this out. Right. I don't just want to hang out with them all the time. I want to do more.
Oh my God. Yeah. I remember like so many girls in like, you know, 90s movies when I was growing up that I was like, okay, I know that I like that she wears a plaid shirt and a backwards baseball cap, but I can't figure out why. This is so compelling.
I don't know where we go from here, but I know that there's something.
So have you found that like your kind of type or like the sort of person that you're drawn to has changed over time?
I don't know. I think because I've always sort of had a thing for like as I said, like I don't like twinks or like tiny guys or not. I've never been like a thing for me. I've always like kind of like bigger guys. I've always said like I describe as like someone who I feel like I could wrestle with for a little bit. You know what I mean? So definitely that. Even when I was younger, I kind of liked a little bit older guys. Mm-hmm. You know, even like Wally Cleaver, the older brother. I don't know that it's changed all that much.
What do you think that appeal is for these, for like someone who's maybe a bit older or more, I don't know, that maybe feels like an adult?
I don't know. Adult or just like, but also like, just like more like, masculine guy. You know what I mean? Like, I like facial hair. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, like I like body hair. Yeah. I'm not, you know, like even if I, like, I think even if I was a kid, I mean, I guess in some ways, maybe like as I've gotten older, like 20-year-olds don't have any, like have less appeal, which I think is good and healthy.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that will keep me in, keep me safe as the years go on. But like, I think like even if I was younger, like I don't think like a Timothée Chalamet would ever like interest me all that much.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Funny, like getting older and like that. I was also always interested in older people, but like it was really funny, like reaching like 30 and suddenly being like, oh God, these kids are so young that are in movies. like Zendaya is a child.
I remember for me, I was watching years ago, I was watching one of those Step Up movies, you know, those like dance movies.
Yes.
And Peter Gallagher, you know him? He was like playing the dad in one of them. Yeah. And, you know, their kids were, you know, his daughter was like, I want to be a dancer. He was like, you can't have a career dancing. And I was like, he kind of has a point. And then I was like, oh, I've reached that point where I'm like, sort of root with the parents in one of these movies, as opposed to like, no, you just got to dance. If that's what's in your heart, you got to do it. I'm like, no. Let's think about like, the body's not meant to dance forever. Not a lot of people make a career out of dancing. Maybe we could think about other skills. So yeah, so that definitely, that moment, I've definitely passed that Rubicon where I'm like, the parents have a point.
Yeah. I mean, even as like a teenager, I feel like the like movies and TV shows I liked were mostly about like middle-aged divorcees, but like it really
you're a real
is
Kramer
like,
versus Kramer kid. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. But it is like so strong now that like you just like start realizing like how many stories are about like very like, I mean, this is part of like the, you know, the point of the film, but like I saw Priscilla recently and like,
oh yeah,
even like with, you know, Elvis being like the older character in the narrative, I was like, God, this is a baby. They're two babies. Like,
yes.
Getting married.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely have that of like, oh, they, of course they're making every, like, you're like so much more sympathetic. You're like, of course they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Of course they're acting irrationally. They're in their 20s. How can you expect them to do anything, to make any correct choice?
Right. Exactly. Like, these people know nothing. I can't deal with it. Oh my goodness. So when did you like first discover Guillermo? Was that in Weeds? Did you say?
I think it was probably Weeds, or it might have like totally solidified and made probably maybe Scandal, because I watched like the first season and a half of that show. Okay. But again, like most hour long shows, the first season I think can be like really tight and fun. But then after that, like after the, because usually like the writers have really figured out that first season.
Right.
And then after that, when they're like, oh, we've got more episodes to do. And that was also back in the time where like a season was like 20 something episodes.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not just like a tight six and we're out. It's like, okay, we have all these characters. Everyone needs to have a big arc because we've got all these big actors and we're paying them all this money, and so they just become insane. You know what I mean? Like the third or fourth season of any like hour long like nighttime soap is always just like, wait, what? You know what I mean?
It's throwing shit at the wall.
That character's been married and divorced 5 times already. They've, you know, they've killed so many people. Although like Guillermo Diaz did, like he was the mercenary with a heart of gold.
I love it. My favorite type of character, honestly.
Exactly. Yeah. You need that. I mean, if you have that many hours of television, you got to get to know them a little bit better.
Oh, yeah. The Boardwalk Empire guy with half a face. I was all into him. Like, come on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's like, it's okay. You see him enough. He's sad. Like,
yeah. You don't understand him.
He's really complex, actually. That's funny. And he does seem to be, I mean, it's interesting, like, hearing about him on a show like a Scandal, because, like, that feels so worlds away from the world of Half-Baked, where he
absolutely
is, like,
yeah.
It's, like, such a, like, sort of broad performance.
It's such a cartoon where it's, like, he's, he plays in the, you know, in Half-Baked, he plays a character who works at a fast food, you know, a generic fast food joint, but he's always dressed as if he is like, he always is in like the Burger King colors of like red and yellow and orange. Like he always, it's that kind of, it's almost like the world of Glee where like, if you're a cheerleader, you're always dressed as a cheerleader. If you're this, you're always, you know, like it's that, you know, like Dave Chappelle is almost always in like his janitor, you know, like togs, you know, it's that world. Although if you go back, like, cause I did go back and watch an episode of Scandal and like the wig and the facial hair that they have Guillermo Diaz in, it's like, there was no, but like, it was like, pick something out from that box of hair over there and we'll glue it to your face. Like it doesn't look, it's not what you'd expect from a Shonda Rhimes show, but
that's,
you
so
know.
Funny. I love a bad wig. Oh man. Well, one of my favorite things in the world. There was a movie, I think it was just called Christine, that one from years ago with
Oh,
Rebecca Hall.
Stephen King?
No. Though I love that one, but this is the one where she is about the woman on the like news program who killed herself on camera.
Oh, but, God. So, and they didn't have a wig budget? Oh, geez.
So dark, and her wig was so distracting.
That's why, like, that's how they softened it. Yeah, like, if she's got a bad wig, it'll be okay. No one will get too traumatized by this. It pulls them out just enough.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. But that is, I guess that is funny because maybe there is some like a little bit of overlap between like a half bake and one of these sort of like you say, nighttime soaps that like you are in some ways having to play a bit of like archetypes a little bit, I guess, in both projects because they're not going for subtlety in either of those.
No. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, or like you can't be too grounded in reality in either, like in either one of them.
Right, and I really like that extended to like his physicality in the movie. That like he has this like interesting, almost like dancery kind of like twitchiness. That
yes,
that I thought was an interesting choice. I mean, that sounded like passive aggressive, but I genuinely do.
I mean, it's more of a choice than you would expect from a movie called Half Baked, a stoner comedy called Half Baked. Absolutely.
I mean, I was impressed by like how relatively grounded Chappelle was in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of his, it might have been like his first, like the first movie that he sold or something like that. But he has said like in interviews that he sort of is like, he wrote a much more interesting script and it just became a stoner comedy for kids. Yeah. But I mean, like there are scenes where like they get high and they're like literally are flying.
Right.
So, you know, like they blow pot smoke in a dog's face and the dog starts flying. So, you know, like it's not meant to be.
I really was into the dog part.
This is where I was like, I wish I was with five other people and we were all super high. Like, I think that's the way to watch this movie.
Right. But yeah, but it was interesting for me, like seeing him in this movie, because I mean, you know, obviously nowadays, Chappelle is,
Right, it's true. Like it is, because like now he's very much like that. I've got everything figured out.
Yeah,
like he has like, this sort of aura of like I know how my point of view is on everything is absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. And in this one, he feels kind of like young and still like it's kind of exciting in that he's sort of like, yeah, I think this is how you act in a movie. I think this is what you do. And you know, like it is a little broad, but it is all still very good. Mm-hmm. But even if it is kind of like, yeah, maybe a second pass, but that's when you're like, oh, 7 months. You know what? For 7 months, this is an A, you know?
Not too shabby. And absolutely. Yeah, they're kind of like genuinely charming in it. But I think it extends to like the whole cast. Like even though they are playing it so big, I think everyone comes across as like pretty like fundamentally likable, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it seems like it would have been a fun set to be on.
Yeah. So are you in general, like, do you have like an interest in these kinds of sort of like working character actors? Because I mean, thinking about his career and, you know, thinking about like this, the scandal of it all and stuff, like, it definitely made me think of, you know, that kind of category of actors like an Alan Cumming or something where it's like they reliably show up in everything.
Right. And like whenever you see them, you're like, oh, awesome, they're here. But they're like not on the marquee ever.
Yeah, but they're always value added.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think those are such great actors. I would love to have a career like that. Yeah. But yeah, I think that there's something fun about that. About like whenever you see them, you're like, oh, this is going to be, it gets you a little bit excited to be like, oh, here's an old friend who I don't see enough of.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, I've listened to a lot of your podcast and I really enjoy it. And it does seem like you get a lot of comedy people kind of like that on Two Old Queens that are people that, you know, might show up for a scene in a TV show, but they're like consistently charming and funny and likable. And like, it's always like, oh, it's nice to see this person.
Always a good time, right? Yeah.
So he's been in a couple of, Guillermo Diaz has been in a couple of music videos with big artists. Yes. So have you seen his like work as, is he an actor in those? Is he a dancer in those?
He's, the Britney Spears one that he's in, he is actually that was one of the cases where like he was just supposed to be his character from Half Baked.
Oh, that's so funny.
So you know how in Half Baked where he quits his job and he's like, I hate you. You're pretty cool. Britney Spears does that to him, but he's the one who's pretty cool. But he's literally dressed in his costume with the crown on and all that stuff.
Oh my God, that's so
But
funny.
Then later in the video when she's, because the concept of that video is like she's being stalked by paparazzi and they're like Terminators who are like trying to get her. And then Guillermo Diaz just drives up in a convertible and is like, hey, Britney, come on, I'll save you. And so she gets in the car with him. They drive around, she sings, and then he pours milk on himself. Doesn't quite make sense, but you're like, whatever, it's a music video.
Oh my God.
But that was a case of like, he wasn't supposed to do that initially. He was just supposed to do that one part about Half Baked. And then they were like, hey, Brittany liked him. And so they're like, let's have him do this part.
That's really funny. I love that. Oh my God. That's great. Well, so obviously, you know, we are in agreement that Guillermo Diaz is incredibly handsome and charming.
Yes.
Are there any recent performances that you've seen, like maybe from like a movie that's come out in the past couple of years or a TV show that like someone who's like really stood out to you as being like, that's like what I find attractive on screen?
Ooh.
I had a lot in Oppenheimer.
In Oppenheimer?
Yeah, okay. David Krumholtz in that was really
good. Oh, I love Dave Krumholtz. Yeah, I think he's really sexy.
He's so sexy.
He's another one who's like just been around forever. And like, yeah, you see him, you're like, oh, Dave Krumholtz. Oh, he's here. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer's like such a type. Yeah. Like that casting director. You know what I mean? Right. Like, they definitely, you're like, okay, I know what this is about.
Yeah. Every single that guy was seemingly.
Yes, there's like it's such a that guy movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave Krumholtz is a good one. Yeah. I'm so bad at like thinking of names on the spot.
You know, I also liked him because it's been interesting seeing him like grow up on screen and like grow into this very sort of like daddy bear type.
Definitely. It's funny, we just did Ice Storm on our podcast and he's in that too.
Yes.
Ice Storm is another one of those movies where like there's, because I don't know if you've seen the Ice Storm, but there's like a bunch of kids and adults, and the kids were like Dave Krumholtz, Elijah Wood, Tobey Maguire, Katie Holmes, Christina Ricci. Was like, this casting director, hats off to you, because
seriously,
you fucking across the board called it with all of these younger, like late, you know, like late teen actors, like totally hit it out of the park.
Yeah, it was so good. Yeah, and it's also even just like as like a young man, like I watched a little bit of that show Numbers back in the day, which I mean,
I've never seen that one, but that was a big one for him.
Yeah, and it's fine, but it's like, it, you know, very sort of standard like network TV show, and like he's so like clearly they put a lot of pressure on him to be like, you know, handsome and trim and like
Everything. You're leading actor of a TV show. Yeah. You gotta hire a personal trainer.
Yeah.
I mean, the show, Joe and Sean Machi now, he's very conventionally good looking, but my husband and I are finally catching up on the last season of Reservation Dogs.
Oh, which
and the actor plays Bear. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
And the lead guy in that, he's super sexy.
Ooh,
he plays a character named Bear. He's not a bear at all. He's like a young, very like sexy, skinny guy, but he's very, very hot.
Oh, yet another reason to watch this show. I've been meaning to for ages.
Oh, it's really, really good. Yeah. I definitely check that out. What else?
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. This is getting a little bit off topic here, but
sure.
I mean, as a writer yourself, I mean, when you look at like TV writing, like what is it that like kind of is compelling for you?
I mean, with TV especially, it's just like characters because you have to go through so much story. Like movies and, you know, stuff like that, you have like a very finite story. So it's kind of easy to just get more focused on like the plot and the story. Whereas with TV, because it's going to be hours and potentially if it goes on for like several seasons, you just need really fun characters that you like hanging out with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's less about, you know, necessarily like what the story, I mean, like, yes, the story is important, but it's more about just like hanging out with these characters. I mean, another thing, this is not at all like contemporary, but my husband and I are going through all of Seinfeld, which I had never watched before. It's one of his favorite shows. I'd never seen it.
Oh,
so we're literally just started season 6 and we're just at the halfway mark of the number of episodes. But it is amazing, first of all, to just see like how different writing is now.
Yeah.
Because it's just so like, I mean, like, first of all, here's my hot take on Seinfeld, having never seen before. It's a very funny show.
What? Controversial.
No one said this before, but it's funny. But it's like the style of writing is so different, just in the fact that, like, you know, like, again, like Jerry Seinfeld has had, I think, like 50 girlfriends at this point. And there have been the ends of certain episodes. Like, there was one episode where, like a band moved in the apartment above Jerry Seinfeld. And I was like, do we ever see them again? My husband was like, nope, never see them again. You never hear, like, they just don't care about that, which in a way it's kind of refreshing that it's just like, here are these four, like the four main characters, you get the archetypes. They're all played exquisitely. Like those actors, I mean, Jerry Seinfeld's not the best actor, but like Jason Alexander, Julie Louis-Dreyfus, and you know, Michael Richards are great actors. They're so great at playing these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like fun. And then of course, it's an incredible supporting cast of, you know, like you got Wayne Knight, you've got all the bosses and, you know, and stuff like that. And there's just also like the parade of girlfriends that Jerry Seinfeld has.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like Courtney Cox, you've got on a gun. You've got, what's her name? White Lotus. I can't think of her name. Oh, Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah, yes.
Like, it's just insane the number of people in this, right, in the show that you're just like, oh my God, that person is not someone yet, but they're about to become someone, right, very, very, yeah, significant. Like Courtney Cox was like the job she had before Friends.
Right. Yeah. Oh my God. It's like they were like almost like ordained by, yeah, Jerry Seinfeld.
Exactly.
Like, you can be a star now.
All right. Yes. You've paid your dues. You've been a guest star on Seinfeld. Now you can actually have your career.
Yeah. Though, God, wouldn't you hate it if you were like one of the girlfriends who was like not Courtney Cox? If you were just,
right,
like,
I'm sure some of them are just like, well, I'll look at all these other people. Where's my phone call? It's going to be any day now.
Right. Oh my,
sorry,
gosh. Yeah. Didn't they like famously like not like the actress who played George's fiance? And so they like killed her off.
I don't know why that happened. We haven't gotten to that yet.
Okay.
But I know that she dies and I know how she dies.
Yeah.
But it's weird because she shows up early on and then goes away and then I know she comes back.
Okay.
Yeah. We haven't gotten to the part. We haven't got where yeah, my husband and I are. She hasn't come back yet. We're okay, only, again, halfway through the season and it's season
so
six,
funny,
which is insane.
Oh my God.
To look,
yeah,
at it and be like, oh, they did 173 episodes of this show.
Yes.
That's nuts.
That is the interesting thing, I mean, about the sort of like evolution of like sitcom writing, I guess, that like, especially, right, these long running shows, like that you can see the writing change like over the seasons. Like, I mean, a few years ago, I, right, did like the big rewatch of Frasier and like,
okay,
the writing is so different in the early episodes than in the late ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was much more episodic early on.
Right. I think that's definitely true with comedies, especially because you start to go like, oh, David Hyde Pierce is great if we give him this. So let's give,
yeah,
him that. You know, this person is great with this. Let's do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that definitely happens. Or you get a sense of like, especially like something that's like a big ensemble, like The Office or Parks and Rec or 30 Rock, where you're like, these two actors work really well together when they're,
yeah,
doing this. Or these two, you know what I mean? Or these two people play off each other great in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you start to learn that, how that just informs the writing. That's usually like, I feel like with a lot of comedies, the third season is when it almost always like, it takes off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there are so many shows that like I want to like introduce to friends and family and stuff, but I'm like, just skip the first two seasons.
Yeah,
like,
you don't need it. Yeah, yeah.
You'll go back to it later.
Perfectly.
When you have,
you'll get it.
For,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, I'm sure that you've experienced this as well, that like, I mean, the frustrating thing of like how so few shows are able to get these multiple seasons,
right,
these days. That,
exactly.
Like, everything's canceled so quickly. And it's like, you wouldn't have the Seinfeld that we have.
Oh, I mean, those that first, the first season is, first of all, six episodes. And
yeah,
it's so weird how like, it was funny to watch and just be like, oh, they haven't figured out the diner yet. So like a,
yeah,
lot of those early diner scenes are like very dark,
mm-hmm,
like very like poorly lit and almost like a weird, like they're kind of doing a noir or something. Like it's,
right,
so weird how they just were like, they're figuring it out. They don't know what they're doing yet. It's like,
mm-hmm,
and thank God for them that they were like they were like under the radar enough that,
yeah,
it was like, okay, I guess, you know, it's one of those things, like, I guess they didn't cost that much money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That it made sense to renew them and to keep going with them.
That's so funny. Yeah, the diner is always funny to me because so I went up to college around where the actual diner is. But it's,
oh,
so,
okay,
funny seeing the show because like you see the exterior that they clearly shot in,
you're
New,
like,
York, and then you see them on set in LA the rest of the time.
Right, exactly. Like, that's not the inside of that building at,
yeah,
all.
Yeah, exactly. It does,
right,
not look like this. But it is still a tourist destination for anyone starting school. So.
Right, I'm sure. That's also another funny thing, like living in LA and New York is like when you watch anything set there, and someone's,
yeah,
like, they go from there to there. And you're like, in 10 minutes, they walk from that side of town to that side. No, they didn't.
Right.
You know,
exactly,
what I mean? Or like, that's 2 hours away. What are they, like, what are you talking about?
Yes. And everyone's apartment is way too big.
Everyone's apartment is enormous. No one has a job.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of, you know, Guillermo Diaz being on like Girls in Broad City, those were two shows that I was like, they kind of look like humans' apartments. This is great.
Right, like, right, exactly. Oh, they're all on top of each other. Yes,
yeah,
that is,
exactly,
correct.
They have annoying roommates. Oh, wow, relatable. Well, so you clearly are, you know, watch a lot of TV with your husband.
Yes.
Do you guys find that you have like overlap in like what kind of taste that you have in these, in the actors that you enjoy?
I guess we don't talk about it too much.
Sure. You don't constantly ask your husband who else he's attracted to?
So if you could fuck anyone on this TV show right now. Not me, because I'm not on it, so that's okay. I mean, I think we're both similar in that we like kind of like bigger, sort of like more,
mm-hmm,
substantial people. We're not,
yeah,
neither one of us are like into like twinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's also the thing too now. Now it's like they don't let a lot of uggos on TV. for movies.
Right.
It's like, and it's something that you see like over time, like it gets less and less. Like it used to be like if you watch movies from the 70s, which I also love that. I love that there's like, you have like the leads who are like gorgeous and then everyone else is like human beings, you know, like, or like you get like really fun, great character faces. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And now it's just like, everyone's a model.
Right. And it is, it's almost like a bell curve a little bit, because it's like you watch like 50s movies and it's like people like the Vaseline on the lens or whatever.
Oh,
and then
yes.
You get to like the 70s and suddenly everyone looks like Gene Hackman. But like,
yeah.
then you're back again.
Right. And then it's back to like everyone's a model. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Though it is funny. Mm-hmm. I feel like watching 70s movies, like every guy is balding and has like yellow teeth, and like every woman has like the exact same pair of tits. Like they all look exactly.
But they're
the same.
Also just like leaner.
They're like so thin. They've got flat tits, like long flat tits.
Yes. Yes, and it's also like exercise technology or just like knowledge isn't there. So like so many guys take their like shirts off and it's like they're not out of shape, but there's no like they don't have like pecs, so they don't have like big muscles or definition, but they're like lean.
Yeah, they're like cigarette skinny.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You're like, these guys have like for breakfast, they had a cigarette and vodka. Like they, they have never touched a
dumbbell.
And for
dinner, they're having wine and that's it. Yeah.
Exactly. I do love like, you'll sometimes see like on Twitter, things go around from like women's magazines in the 70s. It'll be like, how to get into your best shape of your life. And it'll be like, for breakfast, one glass of white wine and a bowl of cottage cheese. I'm like, okay, we're getting
cottage cheese was like for every meal is what it was.
Exactly. Half a piece of toast and your second glass of white wine. Like,
and then three deep breaths and you'll be full.
And smoke a half a pack of cigarettes. Take a Valium and go to bed.
And smell an apple. Yes.
Exactly. Oh, that's great. Well, so thinking about the movie Half-Baked, you know, we like to do do some sort of pairing. And this could be, you know, what you would suggest for like a double feature. It could just be a movie that you think someone who enjoyed this movie might like. And it doesn't have to be about Half-Baked specifically. It could be if you liked this performance from Guillermo Diaz. Like, what kind of other movie or TV show do you think someone should check out?
Gotcha. Well, if it's Guillermo Diaz specifically you like, I would check out Weeds. He shows up in season 3.
Mm-hmm.
It is the general comedy and vibe of the time. Maybe A Death to Smoochie.
Here you go. Well, I'm on board.
But I think also if you like this sort of like weed comedy of all, then I think any of the Harold and Kumar movies, especially the first one, would be a good pairing.
Oh my God. Yeah, I haven't watched that movie in a long time, but man, I found it so charming back in the day.
Yes. And like, well, also at the time, it felt so refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh my God. And like getting to see John Cho, who is one of my personal favorites, like lead a film is so exciting. Mm-hmm.
Right. And Cal Penn is also sexy and great.
Yeah. Oh my. And now it's just like, I guess, in politics forever.
Yeah.
Does he act anymore? Like, you just like went and worked for Obama and was like, I'm done.
He's like, I guess they have really good health insurance here, so I'll stay here.
Yeah, what a difference from, you know, like Bill Clinton saying he like didn't inhale to Cal Penn going from Harold and Kumar to working for the Obama administration.
Now it feels like if a politician said they never did drugs, you'd be like, get out of here, you liar.
Exactly. Yeah, I guess when I was thinking about pairings, I was definitely thinking along the stoner lines. And I am a great fan of the movie The Beach Bum, the Harmony Korine movie. With Matthew McConaughey. It is so good. I think it might be a bit divisive, because like I think if you are on its wavelength, you love it. And if you're not, you fucking hate it. I tried showing it to my parents because it's like set in Florida and they love Florida. And I was like, oh, you guys are gonna love this. And
this
they
will
were
work.
Like, yeah, they were like, what the fuck
get
is
the hell
this
out
movie?
Of here.
But yeah, I would highly recommend it.
All right, I'll check that one out.
Yeah, so pardon me. You mentioned that you have authored this book called Baked.
Yes.
Could you tell me a bit more about this book?
Sure. So it's a memoir. So for several years in the early 2000s, I made my living selling pot cookies
in
New York City. So it is the story of me doing that. It started as a fundraiser for co-written a parody of the movie Showgirls with Jackie Clark and a lot of people at the UCB, the Upper Arts System Brigade Theater in New York at the time. And so we needed to raise money to take it to the San Francisco Sketch Festival. So that's how I got into selling drugs. And Turns out selling drugs is as easy as selling drugs. It's super fun. It's a great, it's like one of my favorite jobs I've ever had, because it's like every time you show up somewhere, everyone's like excited to see you, because it's like, yay, you're here. It's like constantly walking into a surprise party for yourself. You get to meet so many different kinds of people. You got like, I just had so many different fun adventures. I got to see so much of New York. That's so cool. Just like my experiences doing that and what that was like for yeah, so you can get it either on Amazon, or you can get it on my website, Jonathan Comedian. If you want an autographed copy, you can get it that way.
Ooh, I love it. Oh my God. I mean, that was one of the interesting things about watching this movie is like how much like weed culture has changed in New York in just the last few years. Because like,
because it's legal, first of all.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like, but now it's like every like deli has turned into like a, you know, a weed store.
You get so some pre-rolls. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's like, I remember, you know, even just a few years ago, it's like, if I wanted to, you know, smoke weed, then I had to like call some guy whose number I got from a friend who then would come to my apartment, but he had to go all the way to Brooklyn. So I had like a crazy minimum.
I had that too. If I was, because I lived in Astoria. I was like, if I'm going to Brooklyn, you have to buy X number of cookies.
Right.
Yeah.
That's funny. So do you feel like the movie captured sort of the tone of like the earlier sort of weed culture of New York?
I think so. I mean, like, I wasn't able to just, like, give out free samples and just do that. Like, they have the movie where they're just, like, the first time is like, here, take all this. I don't know that anyone actually flew on my cookies, but they were pretty strong. Yeah. Also, if you're looking for the recipe of how to make them is also in the book, if you're interested in doing making your own. But, yeah, I mean, like, it's a... I mean, another show that is really good at that, Guillermo Diaz, was also known as High Maintenance. He's in an episode of that. That's another show that I think does a pretty good job of like capturing that.
Yeah. Oh, I love that show. Yeah. And that definitely felt more akin to my experiences from at least a few years ago than Half Baked did. It felt a little slightly different.
A little cartoonish. Sure, sure, sure. not so much male prison stuff in your experience with buying weed.
Yeah, not that quite, but you know, that life is young yet. So
that's true.
Who knows where it'll
go. So much is ahead of you. Yes.
Oh my God. Well, before we wrap things up, we always like to finish with a little game. And so this week we will be doing a Fuck, Marry, Kill Sexy Stoners edition. So our choices here are Guillermo Diaz in Half Baked.
Okay.
Jeff Bridges in The Big Lebowski.
Okay.
And Cal Penn in Harold and Kumar.
Okay. These are
very different types.
They are. I would happily fuck all of them.
Yes, same.
I'm trying to think. There's none that I want to kill.
This is the issue. They're all such amiable stoners.
And the thing, too, is like with stoners, for the most part, you feel like, if you don't expect anything from them, they're pretty easy to get along with. So being married to any of them doesn't seem like they would get on your nerves that hard.
Yes, this is true. Though, I mean, if you are with Jeff Bridges, you have to have the expectation that someone's going to break into your house and piss on your rug.
Right,
which that would be difficult to live with. That's long term.
A rug means so much to me.
That I mean, couldn't possibly. It does possibly, tie the room together.
It does, right? I mean, it is the unsung hero of any room is the rug.
He gets into a lot of scrapes, you know.
That's true, but he does get out of them, and he's good natured. He's not a bad person. He's not like causing these scrapes to happen. He's just sort of a victim of circumstance.
This is very true.
I mean, for that, I feel like of those three, the one who could most potentially sort of like take care of you in the marriage thing would be Cal Penn, I think.
Yes.
He's got that good government health insurance.
This is true.
So I'll marry Cal Penn. I'll fuck Guillermo Diaz.
Okay.
And I guess I'll kill Jeff Bridges.
Wow.
But rather than kill, I think I might just let him nap. Like, I feel like that's really what it should be in the Stoner edition. Like, just like, don't wake them up.
Yeah. This
How about you? What do you think?
It's really a tough one. And I do like that you're going to let Jeff Bridges do what this character in Half Baked does throughout the entire film. There is a guy who just sleeps on the couch the entire time.
Right.
Very nice touch.
Right. That's the thing about Half Baked, like, to give it its due, like, it does have a lot of like fun, sort of crazy swings and choices. It never feels like it adds up to a great movie, but there's a lot of great moments throughout it, which sort of like befits like a stoner movie or just like being high, where it's just like, oh, you have a lot of great, weird, goofy thoughts that are fun that maybe don't stand the test of time, but in the moment are fun.
Yeah, and I think it's really, that character is really a testament to, like you say, how easy it would be to live with these guys. Because, I mean, they never kick him out of the apartment. This stranger just sleeps on their couch throughout the entire movie.
Right, yeah. We still have somewhere to sit, so it's not like we're standing.
And they're just like, who are you again?
Yeah.
Never a big deal. Ooh, it's so hard to say, because I do have such particular affection for Jeff Bridges in Big Lebowski. And I think,
again, I would be happy to do any of that. Put him in any category. You almost could go any way with this, really.
I know. It's okay. So yeah, let's make this fuck, marry, let sleep.
Sure.
Yeah, let's stick with that. So
don't kill any of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, very sweet guys.
You're too nice.
Yeah.
So I think it's gonna have to be. I think it's gonna be fucking Guillermo Diaz, because he seems like he'd be a little unreliable as a long-term partner, you know?
But, sure. Potentially,
Yeah, and he's got that dog, which I love dogs, but that one seems like it might be a little dangerous to have.
Not quite as taken care of as it should be. Yeah,
exactly.
Get it. Not the dog's fault, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, the dog came from difficult circumstances, it sounds like.
Sure.
I think I'm going to have to marry Jeff Bridges.
Okay. Fair.
Because I mean, he's got a nice house, even if he does have a piss-covered rug,
sure.
You know? I think he'd be...
Also, like a rug. You don't need a rug for forever. It's nice to refresh a rug every once in a while.
Yeah, I can go to Pottery Barn. Come on.
Exactly, yeah.
And then I think I'm going to let Cal Penn sleep, because if I remember correctly, he's pretty young in the movie. And like I said,
they are both pretty young,
I just can't get on board with anyone too young these days.
Yeah, that's smart.
I'm talking like I'm like 60 years old. Like I'm 31.
Right. Like you're going to be, okay, Mrs. Robinson. Yes. All right.
Yeah, it would be, I think his character's age in that movie, I think, would be like Anne Bancroft and Dustin Hoffman, because he was like pretty old in that movie. And she was like 5 years older or something.
Right. Well, that's also the fun thing about movies in that time. Like someone's like 25 and they look like 40.
Right.
Because I also didn't know anything about skincare back then either.
No one was wearing sunscreen. Oh, my God.
And all that cigarette smoke just aging them.
Cigs, no sunscreen. I love in like old plays, like there's in Private Lives, there's like a line about how like, oh, I can't wait to go to the beach and get absolutely sunburned. I'm like, oh, God, lady.
We need a rewrite on that.
Yeah. Oh, it's an SPF. This is dangerous.
Those spots are going to get. No.
Exactly. Where are you?
Aerosol. What's wrong with you?
Oh my gosh. Well, John, this was really, really fun. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. I had so much fun. This was great.
Yeah. So is there anything you'd like to plug, and where can people find you?
I am on Instagram at John_Flynn99. But then I have my podcast, Two Old Queens, with Mark Rennie, a previous guest on this. And we guests come on, such as yourself.
Yes.
And we bring a movie and we figure out, using complex and Byzantine scoring system, figure out how gay the movie is. I have another Madonna podcast, if you're into her, called The Celebration, where I co-host with another friend of mine. And it was initially meant to be, we were just going to review all of her tours before we went and saw the Celebration tour. We were supposed to see in September. As everyone knows, that didn't happen. So we've got a bunch more episodes. We're keeping it going until we see her in March.
Amazing.
So you can check that out. And then, again, my book, Baked, Sex, Drugs, and Alternative Comedy, which you can get on Amazon or on my website, johnflynncomedian.com.
I love it. And as you listen to John's Madonna podcast, definitely look up pictures of Guillermo Diaz's Madonna tattoo.
Madonna
He is a great Madonna fan, so look it up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, as I said, if I run into him, I'm sure we're going to get along great.
Thick as thieves.
Sure,
I can
my husband
see it already.
Won't mind. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter.
I'll just call it Twitter. No one calls it X.
Listen, I really respect all of Elon Musk's choices, so I gotta go with X.
Whoa, you're the one. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a big fan. follow us at Everyone Is Hot Pod. That's everyone with the numeral one, not O-N-E. Everyone is Hot Pod. Follow us there and rate us on Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars or don't bother. Well, thank you again, John. This was great. And for all the listeners, we ask that you please stay horny.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.